Hey everybody, this is Lex Rofberg, and we're giving a little bit of a preamble before this episode as one of our High Holiday episodes. Initially, it was released in 2016/5777, right at the beginning of 5777, as we entered that new year. But we're re-releasing it this year because we think that these conversations about the Torah readings and Haftorah readings from the High Holidays are still relevant. And we didn't re-record new ones. We, as much as our ideas changed, they haven't changed so much that we have whole new takes on these texts. But we wanted to put them out there for you anyway, to, if you listened the first time, revisit, and if you didn't, to visit for the first time. So we hope you enjoy these, and send us whatever feedback you've got at dan@judaismunbound.com or lex@judaismunbound.com. Shana Tova, Happy New Year.
This is a special edition of Judaism Unbound, the High Holiday Readings. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dan Liebenson.
And I'm Lex Rofus.
And we're here with a special edition of Judaism Unbound today that actually is putting together a number of shorter pieces that you can find on our website, www.judaismunbound.com, in our special section on the High Holidays. We're going to be talking about each of the traditional readings for the High Holidays and looking at them with a Judaism Unbound perspective to try to find a way to see whether these traditional readings can still be relevant to us today as we potentially look at these holidays in a new way.
Right. And our first one is going to be on Genesis chapter 21, which is the reading for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And for those who aren't familiar with that reading, we're going to give a quick summary before going into our thoughts with each of these. Here, we're in the book of Genesis in the story of Abraham and Sarah, along with the lesser-known character Hagar. And here we have the birth of Isaac, and shortly after he is circumcised, right at the beginning of this chapter. And then we have an entire situation evolve where Sarah, who's of course Abraham's wife, is not comfortable any longer living with Hagar, who's Abraham's other wife or servant, who had earlier in the story given birth to Ishmael, the firstborn son of Abraham. And as Isaac is born, who is Sarah's son, Sarah no longer feels comfortable with Hagar and Ishmael being in the household and tells Abraham that he needs to instruct them to leave.
Yeah, and for me, looking at this text today, the thing that jumped out the most to me, right, if we want to look at this in a somewhat different spin than maybe traditionally it has been looked at, I see this as really a terrible sin, both on the part of Sarah and the part of Abraham in listening to her, right? That essentially, right, Sarah is jealous or, you know, to put in a maybe somewhat more positive terms, is concerned to keep her son as the primary inheritor of Abraham's status and property, I guess, and really asks Abraham to essentially disown his other son. I don't see that as admirable, and I certainly don't see it as admirable for Abraham to agree. So for me, looking at this text on a holiday like Rosh Hashanah, right, the idea where we're starting to think about our wrong actions of the past and thinking about atonement, I actually think this is a wonderful text to start with, not because we're sort of whitewashing the characters in some way, but because we can actually recognize their great sin and say that if we ended up thinking about these characters in somewhat positive ways, then that means that there must be redemption, right? And I'm not talking about redemption from God. Right. I'm talking about redemption from wrongdoing. And in some way or another, looking to go in a different direction and perhaps not looking further at the development of Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, I'm not sure if they actually atone for this sin that was committed against Ishmael and Hagar. But to the extent that I'm able to kind of continue to see them as favorable characters, at least I want to imagine that they did.
Yeah, and it gets at an entirely different way of relating to the stories of the Torah than I was used to growing up. And that's because what I tended to hear, whether it's in sermons or in Torah discussions, was we started out with the proposition, as you said, that perhaps one of the main characters, in this case Abraham, made a really bad decision. That's certainly the first level meaning of here. I mean, very few of us would look at the banishing of a father of his own son, and Hagar, and think that that's a particularly kind move. But there was always a but, and the remainder of the session was devoted to finding out why this really was a redeemable decision. And I think that's because we felt the need in many of these contexts for the text to be not only interesting, but morally instructional. And I think for me, as you said, it's okay for the text to occasionally, for a character who we see as a particularly good character like Abraham, to make a really bad decision because, as you said, we do think that one mistake doesn't cast you out as such a negative guy.
Yeah, and I guess, like, really, as a starting point for me, it's this point that, you know, I think traditionally it's thought that this reading was chosen because it sort of has the idea, which actually is not quite in this part of the story, but the idea that Sarah was barren and she prayed to God for to be able to get pregnant, and God listened to her prayers, and that somehow, you know, on the high holidays, if we pray, that God will hear our prayers. I think that's the basic idea about why this text is thought to be in the Rosh Hashanah reading. But, you know, so, but for me, I'm sort of saying, like, I don't really care why it was chosen. You know, I'm asking, what, when I look at this text today, can I find something here that feels relevant to me? And actually, what feels relevant to me is less the idea that if we pray, God will hear our prayers, and more the fact that our ancestors did some really terrible things. And nevertheless, they're our ancestors, and we love them, and we have admiration for them, or, you know, we think of them. And if they're not our ancestors, right, these mythological characters, right, that we see in some positive light, and that we can nevertheless learn from them or think about them, even though we acknowledge that they did really terrible things, just as is true for us as well, right? And if I were to be judged by my worst day, then would my children really have a father to look to for guidance? You know, right? If we left things as they are on someone's worst day, is there really any point going on? I mean, that for me is what I find in this text that still speaks to me today. And I guess, like, I'm hoping that that's the frame in which we can look at these other texts to ask, you know, are there things that jump out at us as modern readers that feel like something that we can still find relevant at this time of year again today?
I love it. And I think to that passage, we've actually mentioned this, I think, on the podcast, where God's self is atoning in the Talmud. There's a famous passage where God is atoning. So if God's able to do that in the Talmud, which of course sees God as this incredibly lofty character, certainly I think Abraham in this text could be seen as atoning himself as well.
Yeah, and I'll take this opportunity to put in something that may not be directly connected to the High Holiday readings, but in general I think about a lot, is that I think in traditional interpretation, especially later, more recent traditional type of interpretation, I feel like we've done ourselves a terrible disservice by trying to portray the characters, including God, as somehow infallible, somehow greater than us, right? As opposed to seeing them as fallible and just like us in many ways. And, you know, I think about that in particular with Moses and with God. You know, if we insist on seeing Moses as the most modest, incredible leader we ever had, then of what value is anything that he did to me to learn from? And if God can see everything in the future and never has any regrets and, you know, always knew what was going to happen, then it's not very relevant to me because I know that that's not true of me. As opposed to seeing a God who, you know, gets really angry and kills all the people in the flood and then regrets it, which is what the text actually says, then that suggests to me a God character, right, who is not being portrayed by the author of the text in that way. And so I want to actually sort of push away that traditional interpretation and encourage us to go back to the text when we're sitting there or not sitting there in services and looking at these texts to actually read what the texts themselves say, which is not that Abraham was right to kick out Ishmael, but it doesn't really say one way or the other. But I think it's extremely problematic, and I think it's okay for us to read it that way.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And with that, we're going to close out our reflections on the first Torah reading of Rosh Hashanah. If you're interested in hearing more from us about these textual readings from the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. We have three others that have been released already, and there's going to be four more related to the holiday of Yom Kippur, two Torah readings, two Haftorah readings coming out very soon. So we hope you'll check those out either in iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, or on our website, JudaismUnbound.com, under our High Holidays Unbound initiative in the Listen and Learn track. So with that, this has been Judaism Unbound.